Please join me in prayer. Lord, I am not worthy to have you into my home, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. May the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouths be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, and may it accomplish your purposes in our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. During the earliest Christian centuries, and for over 1,000 years, this story, the story of the Magi coming to worship Jesus, represented the Gentile people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The earliest surviving Christian art or icons from the late 2nd century or early 3rd, 200s and 300s, the earliest depictions include and focus on the three figures bearing gifts to Jesus. Most Christians at this point were Gentiles. That is to say, they were not Jewish. And in these pictures, they saw themselves represented before Jesus. They were the people now included in the icons, now included in salvation, and now worshiping for Jesus. It would be as if for many of us, in looking at an icon or in reading the Gospel of Matthew and seeing a Canadian bearing a gift of maple syrup before Jesus, we would say, look, we were there. We were represented. For one early commentator, the three gifts referred to the three sons of Noah, the three nations that became all of humanity, which is to say that when Jesus came, all of humanity was represented before him in worship. Matthew's nativity story repeated the details as if they were crucial. When, where, who, and what? Those first two chapters, if you read them, the family lines of the people mattered. The timing mattered. The geographical location mattered. The earthly physical details, they were essential to the story of salvation. And Paul pointed to this very thing in his letter to the Ephesians, to this historical moment in salvation, as we heard Marilyn read for us. This was a moment in history when what was possible for humanity changed. Our relation to God was changed. To each other, to the rest of creation, it was changed in and through history. The Gentiles, the Magi, came to worship Jesus, the son of the Virgin Mary. And Paul writes, in former generations, this purpose of God, this mystery, was not made known to humanity. Now it has been revealed. God has made it known. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, sharers of the promise that was once theirs in Jesus Christ and is now for all people. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says that Abraham and Sarah and many other people from the Old Testament saw this event that was coming. They saw it from far away, they looked forward to it, but they didn't receive it. Similarly, Jesus says, I tell you, there's been no one greater than John the Baptist, and yet the least in the kingdom that I am establishing will be greater than him. Until John, humanity had the law and the prophets in the care of the Jews. But now all humanity has Jesus Christ himself, access to God's very presence. Before and after this moment in history, everything was different. Sometimes it has seemed to be, to me, and perhaps it's just me, that we act and speak as if history and life on earth do not really matter. That once we get to heaven, none of this will really be important or remembered. Matthew saw the arrival of the kingdom among all the nations with the coming of the Magi during the reign of Herod in Judah at Jesus' birth. So what? First, this raises the importance of history. God is at work in it and through it. There is no salvation somewhere else, somewhere abstract. It happens in life and as events unfold. The history of the nations and our own history, the history of each person here, is what is going to turn out to be the story of God bringing salvation through Jesus. So this should cause us to reflect on our own personal stories, our Christian testimony. The story of your life is not inconsequential. The events that have happened, the timing, the choices you've made, all these things matter for salvation. This is where we meet God. This is where we are saved. It suggests that it's fairly important for us to set aside time to reflect on our lives in prayer, to look back on what has happened and to see that the things that have taken place are the advent of our salvation. They are the birth of Christ in us, that we are yet another Gentile arriving to worship Jesus. Where do you see this in your life? The Magi received two signs to help them in their seeking to come before Jesus. The first, it was in nature. It was probably connected to their own culture, their own knowledge. God spoke to them in these ways through the observation of a star. And they responded as best they could in the moment. The second sign they received that God was at work and calling them was from a word from Scripture, which they heard from the scribes in Herod's court. Scripture was needed and essential for their faith. The Magi had to hear the Scripture before they could see the star in such a way that it led them to Christ. They saw the star, they got as far as Jerusalem, but it was only after hearing God's word spoken to them that they went out and once again were able to follow the star to Jesus. And so it is with us. God is present and active in the world and in our lives, throughout our lives. But words are necessary for our faith. They are essential. Scripture is the interpretive key of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus at work, Jesus present in us and around us. And so we miss out on opportunities to recognize Jesus whenever we neglect hearing or reading Scripture regularly. But the question remains, what signs have been part of your life with God? When you look back, what were those moments where you knew that God was at work and calling you to come before Jesus in worship? We often look at pictures from our lives. We hang them on our walls, we put them in photo albums. Maybe some of you put them on Facebook timelines, or you have digital photo albums. Why do we do this? We look at pictures and we remember. We're drawn back to that moment, to that time and place. We remember the feelings. We remember the importance. We remember maybe even what we were smelling and seeing and touching. How many people have listened to old friends try and explain what's happening in a picture? Well, that was it was a morning. It was the afternoon. We had just been out for breakfast. We hadn't been out for breakfast. We'd been golfing. What are you talking about? Why do we argue about that? Because it matters. Those details are part of what made the memory important, part of what made the event what it was. And as we remember it, as we remember how it felt and what it meant, it has power in the present. It renews or sustains love or hope, peace, and joy as we look at these pictures. Now, we may not have pictures of moments that we have spent in God's presence. But could we take time in prayer to reflect back on our life with God? Was there a time when you were keenly aware that God was with you? Was there a time when Scripture seemed to be the very words of God speaking into your heart? Was there a time you had to make an important decision and you knew that God was with you and leading you? Was there a time in your life when you felt beyond what you could cope with and you knew that God was sustaining you? Have you been healed? These are signs of God's presence, signs that are meant to lead us closer and nearer to Jesus. And they happen in history and in our lives. The world was never the same after Jesus was born, and we are never the same after we meet Jesus in our own lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of your silence, you send light and you speak and you call us to recognize your presence in this world and in our lives through Jesus Christ. You have come to live within us through your Holy Spirit. May we be attentive to the moments when you are acting in our lives, and may we remember the moments you have been present. May they continue to shape us and give us strength to go on as we look forward to the day when we will see you through your Son face to face. In his name we pray. Amen.